Welcome to Uniquely Loved, a celebration of authenticity and divine inspiration. We are encouraged to be our own unique, authentic selves. Join me, Tech Witch Nikki, as we discuss spiritual gifts and skills we can develop and enhance, speak with amazing people using their skills in a variety of ways, and explore the different ways to connect to the wonders of the universe. Hello, my loves. So I couldn't do an episode last week. I was, my daughter shared an illness and I was down for the whole week. I had to use all of my energy and everything to recover. And last week I celebrated a very huge milestone that I wanted to share with you all today. I am now 3 years sober and it has been a journey. So I want to share in the celebration of hitting this major milestone with you all and talk a little bit about sobriety in any form, because anyone who chooses to abstain, to stop the addiction, stop the cycles, whether it be, you know, alcohol was my choice, or narcotics or anything that's self-destructive, I commend you. I applaud you. And I want to celebrate with you because it's not easy, but it is so worth it. And my life has completely changed in the last 3 years in so many wonderful ways. It has been a roller coaster. I am not going to lie. Dealing with the cravings and then all the stuff that I was numbing with the alcohol and learning to heal from all of that was a journey all on its own. And that's why many people don't take that journey, because we have to deal with all our stuff. We have to learn how to heal it. We have to learn how to regulate our emotions without these unhealthy coping mechanisms, because that's what they are. More often than not, we're numbing something, whether it be pain, loneliness, trauma, even spiritual gifts, because I was using alcohol to numb my empathy because I was feeling the emotions and energies of others and it was freaking me out. So I had to learn how to deal with all of that over the last 3 years in a way that I had never really explored before. And I got to enhance all of the healthy coping mechanisms that I had learned throughout, you know, my entire life, and pick up a whole bunch of new ones. And it's been amazing. It's been a wild ride. I left a toxic job and I started my own business. And I'm now helping people in this capacity and so many others. I help people through their spiritual awakening process or find new healthy coping mechanisms to help them regulate their energy, their emotions. And it's wonderful. So I'm going to share some tips. And I just want to say that you are so completely, completely worthy and capable of taking these steps or continuing on with this journey, no matter how you decide to do it. Because just like spirituality, just like living, there is not only one way to do it. There are so many, and they are all valid. It's finding what works for us that is part of the process, part of the journey. So, you know, one of the most popular ones is AA, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, but they're not the only ones. So be open-minded in all the different ways that you can explore. You can expand on this journey because it's not limited. We're not limited in the ways that we heal. And it's absolutely wonderful. Getting off of alcohol helped me realize just truly how unlimited I am. And it has completely enhanced and made better my relationship with my husband, my children, my family, and friends. My outlook on the entire world has changed in a very positive way because I took these steps and continued with them. It is difficult, but there are so many different ways to help us get through the cravings and through the emotional roller coaster that tends to come with it. And it is so worth it. We are so worth it. Okay. So some of the things that I did, I picked up a whole lot of different hobbies. I decided to try everything that I loved as a kid, and everything that piqued my interest is like, well, what can I do? What am I good at? I don't know anymore. I've just been surviving. I've just been blah living, you know, and I've just been going through the motions. So, what can I do that's going to spark my soul on fire, you know, with that passion, with creativity, with joy? And it's like, I look at my kids and they're just always, you know, in the moment playing and doing little fun things that bring them joy. It's like, okay, how do I get that? So I started picking up different hobbies. One I still need to attempt because I bought a little box to learn how to crochet and it's still sitting in my closet. But I picked up learning how to make candles, making spell jars, coloring and writing and journaling, which I never really did before because I never saw a point. It's just like blah, blah, same old, same old. Well, now there's a whole lot to write about because the world has opened up. My perspective has opened up. Finding out if you're good with clay, doing things with our hands is key. It's a really big component because the cravings tend to last anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes at a time. And when we're in the moment, it seems like it's going forever. It does. But doing something with our hands, whether we be coloring, scribbling, writing, doodling, going for a walk, because that's involving the whole body, making something, it helps shift our focus onto something positive that we can tangibly do. And it actually retrains the brain over time. It's like, hey, those cravings don't mean anything anymore. I can do this. I get to do this or that or whatever my heart desires. And it becomes a new normal. So, where we used to give into the cravings, we're now like, what can I create? What can I do? How can I express these emotions, you know, on paper or through woodworking or whatever, whatever it is that you're interested in? Because that's what matters. It's finding that wonder, that inner child again, and be like, what can I create? Even if it's just for me. Because the act of creation, any kind, is absolutely wonderful. It's divine because we are inspired by the world and the universe around us, and it is fabulous. To help with quitting smoking, my husband started world building for D&D because we play Dungeons and Dragons, and it helped him immensely, along with a whole bunch of other coping skills and everything else. But he would get knee deep into the lore and start writing. It's like, okay, what do I need to do to flesh out the world and make it more vibrant and alive? And that's what we do with our world. What can we do to make our world, our little, you know, piece of our world, our home, our perspective more vibrant and alive? And that is where we find the joys, and that is how we shift from the cravings and the doldrums of, oh, I can't do that anymore, crap. Instead of, hey, I get to do this really cool thing. I get to make that cool thing. I get to do this. I get to be healthy again. I get to feel happier again. And it shifts everything when we start to adopt that mindset of what do I get to do that's healthy? And it doesn't have to be like changing your diet or doing a workout routine, though that can come later. I don't recommend doing it all at once because that gets overwhelming. I tried. Many do. But finding new routines for yourself, because a lot of times I used to drink as a treat. When I got home from work, I had a couple of toxic jobs after I left the military, and the military itself glamorizes alcohol, and so does a lot of, you know, the socials and movies and media and everything. So getting out of that mindset is something that we have to really, really work on. But I used to, there's times throughout the day where, you know, the cravings will be ever more present because, hey, you used to reach for this coping mechanism every single day, or, you know, what have you, whatever your situation is. And that's when we essentially replace that coping mechanism with something healthy, something creative, something fun, something that makes us feel like, yeah, I got this. And it can take a little bit of time for that joy to actually really come in, but do it with a sense of curiosity. It's like, what can I do? What can I make? What can I draw, or what have you? Because it all works. It's just finding the things that work for us, that feel good for us. And it could be a whole myriad of things. I'm still trying stuff. So I bought some jewelry making stuff. So I paint, I draw, I color. I do a whole bunch of awesome stuff now. And my girls love it because I get creative with them. And my husband loves it because I'm no longer drinking while we're playing Dungeons and Dragons. And he never really saw an issue with it in the first place, but I was completely dependent on it. And I knew it was affecting my moods and how I interacted with everybody. But he was used to it. And now that we're both off of alcohol, and for him, cigarettes or nicotine in general, things have opened up for us in ways that we never expected, even in our relationship and just how we have fun and how we look at things, because we're no longer fiending for things. And the cravings do pass. They do. It seems like it takes forever. And there are moments where they come back, because it's a lot like the ocean with the waves and the high tide and low tide. So when you're in high tide and knee deep, you know, in the waves of the cravings and the, I used to do it this way, and oh man, I miss those days because I used to do this or that. Because we have to separate the fun things that we did while we were using from the act of using. That can be hard because we tend to identify things. For instance, I have social anxiety in general. It is a diagnosis, one of many, but I used to drink to feel normal, or at least seem like I was not as nervous as the people around me, whether I be at a concert or what have you. It really didn't matter. Just being around a lot of people would always get to me in different ways that I couldn't understand, because I didn't understand my empathy and the energies I was feeling and everything else. Plus just, I would associate going out to concerts and having fun and having drinks. And I've gone to a few concerts since then, and they're still a blast. They are so much fun. And I remember more of them. I remember more of the event, and I'm able to drive. So that helps too. So it's been fun. And that's where we have to make that shift. Now, there are so many different ways that we can do that besides just taking up new hobbies and trying to shift our perspective. Now, AA is not the only way. If it works for you, that is phenomenal. That's awesome. However, there are also different programs that are a little more open for different beliefs and paths. Now, we have Pagans in Recovery, which is working the steps, but in a more pagan-centered way of thinking and way of believing. And that way you're not feeling like certain things are getting pushed on you every time you go to a meeting. Now, there is a Facebook group for Pagans in Recovery, and they do Zoom meetings. So there's also meetings that are ran by local, I'm not sure where, honestly, because I've only seen them on Zoom, but I know there are different little pockets of support groups all over the world. Another one is Recovery Dharma. This is how to use Buddhist practices and principles to heal in the suffering of addiction. And there are so many different other recovery programs as well, not just AA, not just even faith-based stuff. Like there's one called SMART, and I know that's an acronym. So look it up if you want a more science-based approach, because there's a lot of people who go for more of the logical, and that's totally fine. And then you can go to a website like recovery.org, which is the American Addiction Centers, and it gives a whole bunch of different types of treatment programs, some that are free, some that are paid for, some that are state-sponsored. So there's a whole lot of awesome options and opportunities out there if you feel like you need more support, because having a support base is huge. I was floored by the amount of support I had when I finally came out and was like, hey, you know what? I'm sober. I quit alcohol, and I'm doing it, for me. And the amount of people that were in my circle were like, "Yay, cool, that's awesome." It was actually really surprising because there's alcoholism runs in my family on both sides, in many different ways. Addiction in general, I know, does. And I thought maybe some of the family would actually not be supportive, but they were. And it was refreshing, and I was happy. So you're gonna find support in unlikely places. Another way to help us, because we're gonna find pushback as well. A lot of your old drinking buddies or using buddies, the ones that you would always hang around when you were doing your substance of choice, are going to start falling away, because a lot of them are gonna feel like, well, now that you're sober, we can't hang out anymore. And that can be for the best, because oftentimes misery loves company. And many of those people who are knee-deep in their addiction will try and drag down anybody else because they still want that comfort of the people that they're used to. And some of them, a lot of times when we're sober, it's like, oh, you're better than me now. It's just them getting triggered by their own addiction. It is not a reflection of you by any means, but it can still be hard to deal with because it hurts. And we're already dealing with a whole bunch of new emotions anyways. So flooding your timeline, your social feeds, even the people that you're around with, people who are supportive, helps balance that out and helps us feel like, you know what, I do got this. So there's several different groups on Facebook that you can join. I run one called Power and Sobriety, where we're very small with only 18 members, but it's just a small, uplifting little group of, hey, we got each other's backs. And there's several others that I am in, and I will put these in the descriptions for the podcast episode so you can find them or search them on your own. There is the one for Pagans in Recovery. There is one called the Sober Cafe. There's another one that's just fun called Sober Inspired Pirates. And then there's another one called Sober Ninjas. And it's fun. It makes it more fun and lighthearted. And oftentimes that's what we need. And they're all completely, absolutely wonderful communities. Another thing to do is to mute or hide a lot of the stuff on social media that glamorizes the alcohol and other substances. I had to do that. I thought I was okay, but then I'd find myself getting triggered. So it can get difficult. So following people who inspire you on this journey can be huge. Now, there are many, many, many celebrities. It's not just regular people, but people that, a lot of people look up to, like celebrities, musicians, and so much more. I know there's a lot of sport-minded people as well who are sober. I don't follow any of them because I don't follow sports, but here's a few that I do follow and that I've found. So John Connolly from the band Seven Dust, he is extremely vocal on his sobriety. He's also now a triathlete and a marathon runner, because he went in full-on healthy mode, and he still makes music and tours. And I just find that, it's like, whoa, you can have it all. There's a rapper named Dax. I found him on TikTok, but he's also on YouTube, and I think he got signed recently. He has a song called Dear Alcohol, and it's wonderful. He addresses, ooh, lots of emotion here. He addresses so many different issues as well with his music, which, music is a wonderful way of exploring, life, the universe, all the issues that are around, and, ways of making things better. Some other celebrities, Danny Trejo, Machete, he is sober. Robert Downey Jr., he's been very vocal about his journey. Iron Man, Nikki Sixx, formerly of Motley Crue, he has his own group now as well, and he's extremely vocal. Let's see, Anthony Hopkins, Eva Mendes, Pharrell Williams, Adele, and Denzel Washington are just a few of the people that you can follow on the socials or look them up and be like, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it. Because we can. Another page that I like on Facebook is called Sober is Cool. And they highlight so many different real people and celebrity stories of recovery to show that, hey, let's desensitize or deglamorize the use of all these different substances. That was a hard word to get out. I don't know why all of a sudden. But let's deglamorize all of that and show that sober is, in fact, a great way to be, because it is. It can make life more vibrant and wonderful for those of us who cannot moderate, for, you know, one drink leads to an entire six pack or what have you. There are a lot of people who can moderate, and that's fine. That's great. There are many of us who have addictive, I don't want to call them genes or, you know, personalities or whatnot, but, you know, when we have addictions and it starts to take over, we have to abstain. I've found it to be a lot easier than I expected. When I first started, I actually tried non-alcoholic beers, because beer and like Jack and Pepsi were my choices primarily. I would do other liquors with soda every now and then, but I would try that as a little, you know, as my treat at the end of the day. And it worked for a little while. And then I was able to go down to flavored bubbly waters. So I still had the bubbles with the, you know, the special drink. It still was kind of bubbly, effervescent, celebratory, because that's how I originally used to view, you know, drinking at the end of the day. It's like, oh, it was a treat. It wasn't, but, you know, that's how I had adopted that view. And that's how I started to change it. And then just doing little things to help me unwind, be in the moment and create or just relax in different ways. Like snuggling with my girls or scribble scrabbling with them with a coloring book with a whole bunch of colors. When I started, my youngest was still, you know, in toddler stage. So, you know, we would just go to town with crayons and markers. So just finding little things that help you, it makes it easier. It's difficult no matter what, but every little step that we can take to make it a little bit easier, make it a little bit lighter and brighter for us, it helps reinforce the fact within us that we don't need it anymore, because we don't. It's not good for us. And it would just lead down to a rabbit hole of other bad coping mechanisms and other not healthy behaviors. So any little shift that we can do throughout the day to help us realize that we do got this, that we're stronger than we realize, and we're stronger than any addiction could ever try to be. We're stronger than the hold that the addiction has on us. We are, no matter what, you are. And I want you to believe that, because it is true. It can be very hard to believe when we're in the midst of the cravings and the in the beginning when it gets really, really hard. So I believe in you. I know you can do it. You are stronger than you realize. And me sitting here now 3 years and 1 week sober, I can definitely tell you that the cravings do pass. The dreams of drinking and using pass. They do go away. Occasionally, I still get triggered, but it's few and far between, and it is a lot shorter than it used to be. And I have 3 years worth of healthy coping mechanisms to fall back on. It's like, nope, I see this coming. I'm going to go do this instead. And then I feel better. So it's worth it. You're worth it. And I celebrate you. I do. Again, I will put the names of the groups and books and the website in the description for this podcast. Have fun with it. The more we bring fun into our recovery, the easier it gets. It truly does. So surround yourself with like-minded people, even if it's just on the socials, because it does help. It truly does. We can do this. I love you. I support you. Always remember, you are accepted, you are valid, and you are loved. Thank you for joining me today as we explore what makes us uniquely loved. Be sure to subscribe. More adventure awaits. For more articles and to work with me as your personal guide, go to www.techwitchlayer.com. Always remember, you are accepted. You are valid. You are loved.